But how great is your faith? Do you have faith this morning? Amen. We all say we have faith, right? But do you have much or do you have little? If you're like the disciples, they struggled with faith, right? So don't be shocked if you do too. We've been talking about prayer, seeing God answer prayer, wanting him to answer prayer. Last week, we talked about idols. Dan said something this past week in community group where he says, when you're caught in sin, you don't really want to pray. You're not going to come near to God probably if you're living in sin, just like David, right? And so it hinders our prayers. When we're in sin, we're rarely near to God. But I think that there's something deeper going on when we're not praying. It's not just sin, it's doubt. We lack faith. Because what does God want us to do? What is, as a church, what does he call us to do? What are we going to be involved in? He says God wants to use us to bring dead people to life, to shine light into darkness, to make us like Jesus. Can you love your enemies on your own? You ever try to turn the other cheek on your own? Someone slaps you in the face? Hey, I'd like to see that in real life, actually. I follow Jesus? Go ahead right here. Hit me on this side. Can you be holy on your own? I think the answer is no, right? And so here's the problem, I believe, in the American church. That we struggle with faith. I struggle with faith. Probably you do too. And when we lose faith, we lose heart. We turn to idols, and we stop praying. So maybe we need the cry this morning, the same things the disciples cried out, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Because if we're going to be praying fervently, if we're going to ask God to do only what he can do, we're going to need faith. So would you pray with me before we jump in this morning? Heavenly Father, forgive us when we waver in our faith, when we doubt. Forgive us when we misplace our trust in faith in other things or even idols, whoever we turn to, whatever else we turn to, especially when we think we can accomplish your purposes and see your kingdom coming, when we trust and rely on ourselves. God, speak clear to us this morning about faith and increase our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the past few weeks, we've been looking at prayers of the Bible, right? Basically, and we want to turn them into our own prayers, to kingdom-mindedness, to see the kingdom-mindedness of some of the most important prayers in the Bible, and then to make them our own, in a sense, to have a version of them today for us, for Damascus Church in 2026. We began with Hannah. Remember her? First Samuel, she basically prayed, Lord, I want to have a child. I can't have a child, but I want to have a child. So grant this thing, and I'm going to surrender it to you so that he may bring glory and honor to you. That's a God-centered prayer, right? That's a kingdom-centered prayer. Then there's David last week. And we talked about our prayers, like how they can be hindered if we have sin or if we have idols in our hearts. So we ask God to remove those, that our prayers would not be hindered. And this week, we're going to dive into this idea. When we waver in prayer, when we lack desire to pray, we lose confidence in prayer, and overall, we lose heart. And I believe we're often not motivated to pray because of this one thing. We have little faith. Or worse, we've lost our faith. And if that's the case, if it sounds like you, then you might be a disciple of Jesus who's wavering in their faith, who is struggling to believe, who needs increased faith, and to do the things God commands us to do and what he wills for us to do here on earth, faith is required. And you can think of that personally. You can think of that corporately. Faith is required. We shouldn't fight the idea of faith. Actually, we should embrace it. We should rest in it. You can have little faith. You can have weak faith. You can even feel like you have no faith. And so did the apostles, because that's the very thing they asked the Lord. Said, Lord, increase our faith. Why would they say this? Why would they ask this? We need the context, right? Here's why they needed increased faith. You ever think, wow, it's sometimes the things that God is calling me to do seem really difficult. Am I the only one in here? Everyone else walking in perfect holiness and obedience throughout the week? The things that God is calling me to do seem very difficult to do. They seem hard. I don't even know if I want to do them. I don't understand them. And why would I do that? Why would I forgive somebody at all, right? Or even seven times? Jesus says you don't forgive someone seven times. You forgive them seven times 70, and it just goes on and on forever. When he says, love your enemies, when he says, do not be anxious and do not worry, seek first the kingdom and all these things, and I will provide for you. Sometimes it seems hard to trust God, right? It's hard to believe. And so our prayer is, Lord, increase our faith. And right before the apostles plead with Jesus to increase their faith, here's what he says. Actually, he says lots of things, but this is right before. He kind of like lays out a mini Sermon on the Mount again for them, but this is right before. He says, offenses will certainly come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better, this is Luke 17. If you're not there, you could turn there in your Bible. Love to see your Bibles open too, following along. Offenses will certainly come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to stumble. In other words, if your life is not walking in the ways of Jesus, if you remember, you know, the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount, all these things, if you're not living by the Spirit, and not only are you sinning, but you're causing someone else to sin, especially the young ones, the children, and you're teaching them the ways of sin. We're passing it on to them. We talk about making disciples in the church, right? Well, we want to make disciples of Jesus, not of our failures, right? So sometimes we can like be discipling others in the ways of sin. That's heavy, right? And Jesus says, woe to you. But then he goes on and he says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Seven times. See, these are the kinds of things where you might be like, how can I do this? I don't know if I can. I don't know if I even want to do this. How can I not cause someone else to stumble? How can I forgive like that? Do you ever pray like that? Is that ever one of your prayers? Maybe, Lord, I don't want to be the cause of someone else to sin or to waver or to lose faith. These are hard things, difficult things. These are things that we cannot do in our own flesh, in our own power. Amen? So the apostles say in verse 5, they say, Lord, and they pray and they ask, Lord, increase our faith. Because we need it. We're sensing we can't do this. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength. It's not within our capacity. We fail miserably when we try to do the things that you're calling us to do. And by the way, that's why John Piper said this. This is one of my favorite quotes from him. He says, God's will for you is to do only what God can do. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for this church, that God would call us to do only things that he can do. But how does this work? By constantly abiding. By relying on the Lord, being dependent on the Lord, by seeking him, by submitting to him, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that our faith would increase. Because if that's the case, and I believe this, that we're going to see some amazing things of God, the mighty hand of God move. But don't get this wrong, because faith is kind of a mysterious thing, right? It's not about the size of your faith. It's not the quantity of your faith. If I can just muster up enough faith today, if I can grit my teeth and just say, I believe, that's not what causes mighty and miraculous things to happen. It's the object of our faith. Not the size, not the amount, it's who you're trusting. He is the one with all the power, right? All power, all authority. And just to clarify, faith is not, if I just believe enough in my dreams or in my plans or my ambitions, if I just believe enough, then I'm going to climb the corporate ladder and I'm going to make CEO. if I have enough faith, and I'm gonna keep praying for that house that I see on that corner that I've always loved, and one day I'm gonna live there, right? If I pray enough, I'm gonna get that girl that I've been hoping and praying for. This isn't name it, claim it kind of faith, right? This is not, if I believe hard enough, I can accomplish anything I want. No, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It's not about the quantity. If you even have a little faith, in what? In who? In Jesus. And who he is, and what he said, then you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted, and it will obey you. The power of the miraculous is what Jesus does in and through us with his power. And here's what happens. Mountains move, right? Mountains move when your faith rests in the power of Jesus and not your own. I love this idea that a mustard seed of faith, a mustard seed of faith is all you need to see the miraculous. That's what it says, right? What's going to happen? If faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Wow. We were like, let me tap into this verse. I need to know how this works. But isn't this what it's saying? Is when you put your faith in mighty God, you just need the tiniest little amount in the all-powerful and the all-knowing God. So when we struggle to think about, let's say, for example, someone else believing, someone else coming to Christ, someone else coming to faith, we know people in our lives, family and friends, and we think, man, they're so far from God. Like, I don't see how they could ever believe. And I'm not really good at arguing about the faith and sharing the gospel. I'm not articulate. You know, I don't know what to say. How could they ever believe? You know, it's not going to be me doing that, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to better wait for the evangelist or the pastor can do that. Not if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, but in who? In the one who can change them, right? The one who can open their eyes, the one who can breathe life into their dead hearts. That's salvation. But even more than that, this also applies to your growth, to your holiness, your sanctification in Christ, you becoming more like Jesus, which I hope you want to do because that's God's will for your life as a Christian. How does this happen? How can I do it? We all know we fall. James says we all stumble in many ways. We fall flat on our faces when we try to do it on our own. David fell flat on his face. We do when we try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I'm going to have joy today. You try to do that? Like, I'm going to have peace. I speak it into existence. It doesn't really work that way, right? Love, here's what I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to have it. All the fruits of the Spirit, right? You ever try that? But then you wake up and you get out of bed and the first thing that happens is your lower back hurts. You're like, oh, man. And you start complaining. Or you just, you know, on your way to get coffee in the morning, you hit and you stub your toe on the way there. You're like, ah, and all sorts of things come out of your mouth. That's not these fruits of the Spirit. Or we're arguing with your spouse about, you know, who's going to watch the kids, who's doing what? What are responsibilities? Who's going to take the trash out? That's me. I take the trash out. So we need faith the size of a mustard seed to see others come to salvation. But we also need faith the size of a mustard seed is what we need for our own growth. Your own sanctification, your own holiness. When we look to the power and the work of Jesus in our lives to grow us and to sanctify us, to enable us, to empower us, to obey everything he's commanded, you know that, right? That you cannot obey the will of God in your own strength and your own power. Now, that doesn't mean God is responsible in the sense that you do nothing. Like, oh, what's all? It's all up to him. There's, you know, theologians talk about this idea called synergism. It's synergistic. You and God work together in this process of becoming more like Jesus, of obeying him and doing his will. But ultimately, I say this, that God is doing the heavy lifting. Let's praise him. Let's glorify him. Because you know when you try to do it on your own, you fail miserably. So we need him every moment of the day, right? Lord, every hour we need you. And that's not a bad thing. And when we trust in him, mountains move. Mountains move when we put our faith in Jesus. And what are those mountains? The mountains of seeing the kingdom come and advance, the mountains of seeing unbelieving people come to know him, the mountains of becoming more and more like Jesus. Do you have strongholds in your life? I think you probably do. I've been a pastor long enough, talked to enough people. There are strongholds in your life probably, things you struggle with that maybe things you're not even aware of, that unless you turn to Jesus and remain steadfast in faith, Lord, increase my faith. Help me believe. Help me to know it. Help me to understand it. And then give me the power to do it. Unless that's your prayer and then you look to him, you will not overcome these strongholds. You will not take the next step of becoming more like Jesus unless you remain steadfast upon him. Does this help? I think there's confusion about this idea of faith and like having great faith. It's one of these confusing passages. And prosperity churches, I think, misuse and misapply and misteach this all the time. They would say things like, you know, if you just leverage enough faith for whatever idea you can think of, you're going to move mountains. You're going to uproot mulberry trees, plant them in the sea. We've got to be careful. That's not what this is saying. If you want a better understand the promises of Jesus, you must remember that, what is he talking about? He's speaking about himself. The promises of God, primarily about, he speaks about himself, about his will, and about his kingdom coming on earth. So when you stay there, when you read the Bible through the lens of Christ's name and his kingdom coming, things start to make more sense. Does the Bible help in your personal life? It does, sure. But Jesus says your personal life is supposed to be all about him and his kingdom and his glory. Honestly, I think there are many times we waver and get discouraged in the faith because we don't rightly understand the word of God. We misunderstand his promises. We misunderstand the goal. The ultimate goal is his kingdom coming here on earth. His will be done, right? Because here's what's going to happen, I believe, when we turn to Jesus, when we confess our sins, as we've talked about last week, when we pray in a way that we hold things loosely and we say, Lord, we give this back to you. We pray this for your name and your glory. We give it back to you. And we ask him to increase our faith. I believe some mighty mountains are going to move. I think that there's relationships in your life that are going to be forgiven and reconciled. There's experience, you're going to have more experiences of joy and peace in your home and in your work. Maybe it's in your marriage and your family relationships. I think your priorities, your time, your money, your energy, your investments, how you're investing in all these things are going to change. These are mighty mountains moving, by the way. I think you'll find you're able to witness to people and speak of Jesus. You'll have confidence and courage and it may feel like you're doing nothing, like, oh, I just talked about Jesus and talked about church. And the next thing you know, you see people coming to faith. Why? Because we're turning to the Lord Jesus and we're asking him to increase our faith. And if we have even 1 ounce of steadfast faith upon him, I think amazing things are going to happen. Mountains move, but we must be careful. We must guard our hearts. Because when we see God working, the enemy's going to tempt us to that we might think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. So Jesus tells this story. Which one of you having a servant tending sheep or plowing will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Instead, will he not tell him, prepare something for me to eat, to get ready and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you can eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did what he commanded? In the same way, when you have done all that you have been commanded, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. So here's the danger. When we have steadfast faith in Jesus and we're truly praying, Lord, increase our faith, and we begin to see stuff happen. I would say since we started this prayer initiative, pray 7 times. I'm hearing more and more stories. It's like, whoa, really? That's happening? So-and-so said this to me, and I prayed for this person. I was sharing the gospel, and this person's coming to church now, and this person wants to get baptized now. Like, I haven't heard about that activity of God, I think, in the last, 6 months, the amount of stuff I've heard in the last 3 weeks. Amen. Amen. And so we begin to see these things happen, which I do hope happens, by the way. This is what I think Christ is promising us. And I want us to be people of great faith and confidence, unwavering, not doubting, not tossed to and fro, because we know the one to whom we trust and we look to him. And I believe mountains are going to move, right? Kingdom's going to advance. People are going to be saved. We're going to see all these things happen. The church will be united. We're going to be in awe of God. But here's the danger. We're going to be tempted to think that we did all this. Oh, it was us. Our hands did this. Wow. Look at how great of a, you know, it must be our social media campaign. It must be the great ministries we do out in the community. Look what we have done. And this refutes the whole point of what Jesus is saying. Here's the right response. When you forgive someone who sinned against you, when you're a peacemaker, when you love your enemies, when you stay faithful to your spouse, when you refuse to let anger and hatred rule in your heart, when you tell the truth and you keep your word, when you go the second mile, when you absorb offenses, when you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you store up treasures in heaven, when you don't worry about where you're going to eat or drink or wear, when you have the peace of God in your life, how should we respond? Do we brag and do we boast and do we say, oh, look at me? Do we have anything to boast in and boast about? No. Jesus says the proper response is, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. You can't brag about doing the thing that you should have been doing all along. There's nothing to be proud of in doing what God called you to do anyway. That's the point Jesus is making. It's like a plant celebrating that it's soaking up the sunshine and the rays and absorbing the water and it's growing. It's doing what it was made for. God designed it that way. And when we love and when we worship Jesus, we reflect him as image bearers. We're only doing what he made us to do. But here's the issue. We fail to do that. The world fails to do that. To love God with our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, all of our being, to walk in the ways of Jesus, to trust him, and to seek his kingdom first. And so we pray, Lord, increase our faith. But not for us, not for our glory. When mountains move, all glory and praise to the sovereign God who made it possible. There's a preacher who says, he's Paul Washer, he says, there are no great men and women of God. There's only faithless, weak, poor, wretched sinners of a great and merciful God. Lord, increase our faith. We want to see you work. We want to see your hand and your power. So not only us, but the whole world can stand and say, look how great their God is. He must be the true God, the one true God. I'm convinced that one of the greatest problems in the American church is that we misunderstand faith. We've personalized it too much. We think it's something we can use for our own individual plans and purposes, our ambitions and dreams, and then we get mad at God, upset with him. We run from God when things don't go the way we want them to. The things don't happen that we're praying for, and we misunderstand that faith is meant to believe in Jesus, that he's the object of our faith, and to believe in the words and promises of Jesus, promises that mostly pertain to his will and his kingdom coming. And I believe if you start reading the Bible like with that lens, it will transform the way you read and understand the Bible and God's work in your life. This should be the primary desires of our hearts too, by the way. Shouldn't our hearts be about Christ, his name, his kingdom, and his will being done? As far as I read the Bible, that's God's will for us as Christians. And if that's not your heart's desire, then pray, Lord, revive my heart so that it beats for you in your kingdom. But because we misunderstand faith, I think we lack it. We waver in the faith that is necessary to do the will of God, necessary for kingdom obedience. We're not doing the things God is calling us to do. We're not living like Jesus every day in everyday relationships, let alone going out and making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that's the Great Commission. That's the mission. That's our mission here at the church. And we can't do that without him. Even the things we're praying for as a church, I said, let's pray bold things over and over, trusting God with them. God, send more people, send more families to our church, raise up more nursery workers. Lord, replace income over the next few years. God, we want to see 10 baptisms. Can we do that in our own power? In our own strength? No. And if it doesn't happen this week, we might start wavering in our faith, right? We might struggle. Because these are kingdom-minded prayers. We believe God would be pleased to answer them according to his perfect will and plan, according to his sovereign pleasure. So we must not waver. We must not doubt. Faith is fundamental to prayer. Praying what God has promised, trusting he'll answer, and then faith to keep persevering and wait and see what God's going to do. Church, let's have an unwavering faith the size of a mustard seed in Jesus and his power and his faithfulness, and watch what God will do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, increase our faith. That's our prayer. We need faith as we pray. Help us to understand faith. It isn't just some blind, made up thing. If I just believe this, God surely must grant it. Faith is believing in what you've said and what you've revealed to us and what you've taught us. Help us to believe it, God. Give us faith, we pray. God, we waver and we doubt. Encourage us, give us hope. Help us to not give up in seasons of battle and seasons of silence, but increase our faith. God, we want to see mighty mountains move, and it isn't some random miracles that we could think of. It's the miracle is being conformed to the image of Christ and seeing people come to faith in Jesus. That's the mountains moving. When we have strongholds in our life that we can't seem to overcome, we look to you, increase our faith, allow us to overcome these strongholds. When we can't forgive our enemies, when we're not at peace, when we lack joy, when we lack all these things, God, these are mountains that need to be moved and only you can move them. We look to you. God, do a mighty work that you can do. We want to see you move mountains so that we would be in awe of you, that the watching world would be in awe of you, and that many, many more would come to faith in Christ. Your kingdom would advance, Lord, and we know, and may we not forget, this is your hand, it's your power, it's your doing, it's your work, so that you get all the glory in this, that we not try to take some credit that is not ours, because we are weak in faith. But when we look to you, amazing things, powerful things are going to happen. Lord, increase our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.